7. Beliefs. Eventually, my thoughts brought me around to something I wanted to ask, even though I wasn't really sure I wanted an answer. I said, "Is Dr. Kepler out of the hospital yet?" Her house was on Fernwood, not far from here, but it had been at least 2 months now since I'd seen her.
"Yeah," said Diana. "Mom said she'd probably be able to stay at home for a few weeks, but then she'll have to come back to the hospital again."
I didn't like the sound of that. It's not that I was necessarily that big a fan of old people other than Graham. It's just that Dr. Kepler was a nice lady. Even now that she didn't have hair anymore, I actually thought she was pretty in her own way, with her soft skin and dark eyes full of thoughts. She was so thin you could see her shoulder blades and the bones down her back. But I knew from listening to the talk on Wednesday nights when the book club met at Graham's that she was still a fighter. And I found out scientific people can have pretty strict opinions about literature.
"We are Vladimir and Estragon," she hollered in her sketchy voice one night.
She'd made everybody read Waiting for Godot, even though it was really a play instead of a book, because it was her turn to choose. When she said what she did, the other women kind of stiffened. They were mostly Baptists and Methodists, but she was a physicist, which meant that even though they liked her, none of them except Graham really understood her thinking. Diana and I were playing double solitaire at the kitchen table just through the archway from the front room where we could hear everything. L.A. was at the pool practicing dives, so I felt like it was up to me to listen on her behalf, too.
"Explain, Joan," Graham said,
setting her glasses on the lamp table, where they focused two little half-moons of concentrated light.